You may all be seated. Before we start the message today, I just want to make mention of the fact that Becky has signed a covenant of commitment. She wants to be a member here. And yes. Thank you, Becky. We are honored to have you. Praise God. A lot of great things are happening in this place. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, known as the scripture of dry bones. In my King James this morning, it says the resuscitation of the nation. That's a mouthful. You know what? It's amazing what scientists can find in the remains of animals or humans, as far as that goes. Specifically when the bones are analyzed. As scientists study animal bones, they find clues as to why maybe a certain species died out. Human bones also have a story to tell. When police are alerted to a skeleton, what do? They investigate, and they can glean very much information just from the bones of the victim. They can tell the age, the sex of the individual. They can often tell if foul play was committed, involved, and a crime committed. Scientists can still tell to this day the health of an ancient community just by looking at the bones of the individuals they dig up. They can tell the nutrition of those people. So bones have a lot to say today. You know, one of my favorite pastimes, one of my hobbies, is archery. I love archery. And I specifically, I don't know why, but I love traditional archery. I love just what they call the stick and string, you know. Just an old bow. And as Sandy will attest, I'm kind of crazy about it. I do it a lot. I also have a modern compound bow, you know, and I'm impressed with them. I mean, they are amazing machines. They have pulleys and cables, and the efficiency, the accuracy, and the power is crazy. But I, for some reason, still love the old longbow or the recurve. I shoot a longbow a lot during hunting season and whatnot. And I have read and I so appreciate the longbowmen of England, the English longbowmen during the Middle Ages. They were amazing. They were the long-range weapon in warfare of that day. And I remember reading about it, and when people would study the skeletal remains of old English battlefields, they could always tell the archers. Do you know how? Because usually on these three fingers, usually the right hand, because most people are right-handed, but on these three fingers, the archers would hold the bow, hold the string, and all the pressure would be on these three fingers, right in the first crease. And a lot of these longbowmen would pull bows that were at least like 100 pounds. I mean, we're talking a... There's some men over there, you know. And but what it was, I say all that to say this, that when they would pull that string for so many years throughout their life, there would be bone spurs right on those creases, right on those joints. There'd be bone spurs. And they could tell who the archers were just by the bone spurs. So bones have a lot to say. They have a story to tell. This morning, there is a message that bones can tell us, and it's found in Ezekiel 37. The title of my sermon this morning is this, Lessons from a Graveyard. Let me take a little swig of water. Mm. Excuse me. Lessons from a graveyard this morning. If you construct a picture in your mind of the first part of the text that we're going to read, you would say, well, it's hopeless. There is no chance. All chance of life is done. There's no chance. Have you ever been in a hopeless situation? Have you ever been there where you don't know of anything that you could do to make it any better, to show any progress? Well, you'd be in good company, because that's how Ezekiel felt. Ezekiel yearned for revival for his people. He preached revival, but no one would listen. Throughout his ministry, it was falling on deaf ears. His ministry was going nowhere, spinning its wheels. The people wouldn't turn back to God. They wouldn't live for God. They wouldn't repent. So God allows Ezekiel to see this vision that we're going to look at, that one day it would be different. One day, revival would come back to Israel. In the chapters before our text today, a future revival is declared under the new covenant. Now in our text that we're going to read today, a sure hope of resurrection of the people of Israel is presented. And originally this vision of dry bones was given to encourage national Israel after Jerusalem falls and after captivity to the Babylonians begins. It was a promise of God that things were going to get better. For some, this passage in the Bible is an omen of political change, revival in a nation. For some, it is a message about the general resurrection of the dead on the last day. But for us today, I might suggest that this passage is a message about hope. Hope in a God that can do the impossible. I believe God today wants you to know He is a giver of life from death, a worker of the impossible. It doesn't matter what you've done, but where we're headed. So let's get into this passage. I want to start with verse 1 through 3 in chapter 37 of Ezekiel. Here's what it says. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Dry bones. Ezekiel was transported by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley that was full of bones. That's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Here we have a nice valley through here. Can you imagine him piled up? That's all he could see. And Ezekiel said the Lord caused him to go all around it and through it to understand the magnitude of what he saw. What a depressing picture in our mind's eye. What in the world is happening? Bones, white bleached bones in the sun. Have you ever walked through the woods or the fields and maybe you see an old bone laying there? I have many times. It might be from some old cow, right? Or even a deer or some other animal. And oftentimes it's just as white as snow, because the sun has been working on it, bleaching it. And it is the pictorial definition of death. Israel had been defeated by an enemy. Israel was defeated. But Israel was God's chosen people, weren't they? But they turned their backs on God. Dry bones. Israel was crushed militarily. But how? Because God says in Zechariah 2 that Israel is the apple of his eye. But they abandoned God. dry bones. But Israel is special to God. But they worship false idols instead of the one true God. Dry bones. But Israel had a heritage of devotion to God. But they no longer looked to God. They no longer made time for God in their lives. Dry bones. Israel, in the end of verse 3, says, "And lo, they were very dry." What does that mean? I believe it means that they've been dead a long time. This is a long time coming, this death. Well, what about our country? We have been so incredibly blessed of God, haven't we? But so many do not even acknowledge God in their lives. Dry bones. We have been an exceptional nation in sending out missionaries to the four corners of the world for over 100 years. But now other countries are sending Christian missionaries to your country. Dry bones. We, the good old U.S. of A country founded and organized on Judeo-Christian values of fairness, generosity, and a reverential fear of God. We see corruption through so many levels of our country, of our government. We, the United States of America, who at one time saw the inherent value of every human life, knowing they have been created in the image of God. Life has become cheap in our country. Indiscriminate killings, lawlessness. Our country doesn't blush anymore. A numbness to human sufferings has invaded the land. Dry bones. And lo, they are very dry. The question is asked, can these bones live again? God asks Ezekiel in verse 3. And you know what? Ezekiel makes a very good answer. What does he say? O Lord God, thou knowest. What's Ezekiel mean? He means this is beyond me. Man can't do this. There's no way we can bring life to these disjointed bones, just piles of them. They're not even together. They're all over the place. It's up to you, God, to make it work. It will take a miracle. Can we echo that in our country today? It's going to take a miracle, God, to change this land. Secular humanism, which says that we can, within ourselves, create a utopia on earth, pushing God out of our lives, has been an utter failure. Dry bones, bleached white in the sun. In verse 4, though, God has other plans. He says, again he said unto me, verse 4, Ezekiel 37, verse 4, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy unto these bones. As I said earlier, Ezekiel had a ministry that wasn't appreciated. It was like he was speaking to the dead. Well, guess what? He's really speaking to the dead now. He's speaking to a pile of bones. In verse 5 and 6, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. What is the key to all this? I say today that it is back in verse 4 when it says, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It takes the word of the Lord then. It takes the word of the Lord today. There's power in the word of the Lord. The Lord Jesus tells us, no one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other way. The Word of God teaches us all about Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. It takes the Word of God. Hear ye the Word of the Lord. We need to listen to the Word of the Lord. If we want our lives to change, if we want our country to change, the Word of the Lord is what it takes today. Let's continue on. I love this part in verse 7. Check out verse 7 of Ezekiel 37. It says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone." Can you imagine that? There was a shaking in the midst of death. In the midst of depression, in the midst of desolation, there was a sound in this impossible situation of a valley full of bones. Heaped up, the bones start to come together. What does that sound like? Did it sound anything like this? Can't you imagine what a sound that would have been? Bones coming together. The start of something. This is to hunt with, you know. This is what one buck fighting another buck sounds like. But I thought it sounded kind of good. To me, it sounds like bones clicking together. It's a nice sound. It's a sound of restoration. It's a sound of revival. It's a sound of life. It's a beginning from death. It's like God is saying, "Hear the word. Hear ye the word. Take it in." And then God's saying, "Watch what I can do." It's a supernatural thing. If we take the word in, He can do the impossible. I believe. Is God going to change America? Yes, I believe He can. I pray He will. As each bone went back to where it started by the hand of an all-knowing Creator. Only God knew where this bone that belonged to this bone could come together. And He made it happen, bone to bone. Verse 8 tells us, God was not finished. "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." So we're given some more information. There was a massive number of bodies reassembled. Not only the bones, but sinew came together, and skin covered it. And they looked complete, didn't they? They looked together. They looked ready. They looked fully together. But yet there was something missing, wasn't there? It's found in verse 8. There was no breath in them. They lacked life. And as I was studying this, it was reminiscent to me of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, "Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." It takes the breath of God, doesn't it? All the bodies came together, but they couldn't move. They couldn't live because the breath of God was missing. Verse 9, follow with me, 9 and 10, it says, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding army." Romans 8 and 10 says, "The Spirit is life." The life and the breath of God came into these Israelites and they lived. We need the breath of God in us today. Do you remember that old song? I was thinking about that this week when I was preparing this. Do you remember this? Breathe on me, breathe on me, Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Yesterday's gone, but today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Do you remember that? You ever hear that? It's so true. We need the breath of the living God to come into us, to move us, to give us life. In verse 10, it says that the breath came unto them and stood on, and they stood on their feet. They stood on their feet when the breath of God came in. It occurred to me that when the Spirit of the Lord is in us, when we welcome the Holy Spirit in us, we can stand. We can stand against hard times. We can stand against the health issues. We can stand against prejudice. We can stand against sin of all kinds. We can stand against corruption. We can stand because the breath of God is within us. We need the breath of God. In verse 10, it says, an exceeding army, it says, stood upon their feet, an exceeding army. Let me point something out to you today. Only after the Spirit of the Lord entered their bodies are they called an army. Today, in our country, only after the Spirit of the living God enters the church of the living God are we an army, a bond of brothers and sisters. And make no mistake about it, that military term army is not a mistake. We are in a battle, in case you haven't noticed. We are in a battle today. A battle rages for ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and our nation. The stakes of this battle is our hearts, our minds, our souls. We need the breath of the Lord. We need to be able to stand. And when we stand together, we are an army, a force for God. I like what A.W. Tozer said about the Holy Spirit being so vital. Here's what he said, A.W. Tozer. He said, the Pharisees looked straight at the light of the world for 3 years, but not one ray of light reached their inner beings, the Pharisees. Light is not enough. The inward operation of the Holy Spirit is necessary to saving faith. The gospel is light, but only the Spirit can give sight. That is so true. We can do nothing without the Spirit of God leading us, directing us, wooing us, teaching us, correcting us. We need the breath of God. We need the Holy Spirit strengthening and empowering us. The Spirit of God gives us life. And regardless of if we're talking about Israel in this passage, or America, or us individually, we must have the breath of God within us to stand an exceeding army. Open your Bibles again to verse 11. I'm going to read 11 through 14 and finish this out. It says, Ezekiel 37:11, it says, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Well, guess what? God was faithful to his promise. Israel did come back to their land. And the Spirit of God did move. And Jesus came. And the Spirit of the living God came and filled his people. And Israel are in their land today. God is good for his promises. Can America live again? Yes. God is no respecter of persons, the Bible says. That means he loves all of us the very same. Can these dry bones live? Yes, they can. It seems impossible, but with God, all things are impossible. Amen. Lisa, if you and the band would like to come back, please. I want to ask you all something as they come and get ready. What about you today? Do you feel a little dry? Or maybe you feel a lot dry. I don't know. Do you feel like you're exposed, that you're bleached out in the sun? Well, let me just suggest to you today you need to be exposed to the sun, the S-O-N, to Jesus today. It's time to be exposed to the real Son of God. It's time to hear the word of the Lord. It's time to let something begin again. It's time to let God loose in your life, that things can change for you. It's time to allow the sinew to come and connect your body together, the connection of the power of God to hold you together, and then simply breathe in the Holy Spirit of God. Ask the Lord to come in power. Change my life, Lord. Come, strengthen me that I can live the life before you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God today. One final point, and that is, I couldn't leave this alone. One final point that I see in this scripture verse today. You know that little song, the two lines I sang? Yesterday's gone, today I'm in need. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Yeah. Anyway, yesterday's gone. Yesterday is gone. We need to forget about the past. We were talking about that in Sunday school today. Forget about the past and go forward. If you notice this scripture, that's what God was doing for Israel. What was the past? It was their disobedience. It was their sin. It was their idols. There's idols in our country too. We need to forget about all that stuff and move forward. Paul said in Philippians, forgetting what's behind and striving towards what's ahead. Can your bones live today? Oh, yes, they can. Through faith. I hear a sound across our land today. Do you? As you try to take in everything that's going on, I hear the sound of dissatisfaction in the way the world works in our society. If that's you at all today, maybe you are just a little dry. Maybe you just need to allow the breath of God to enter you today. While they sing, would you please come to the altars? If you just want to pray about it and just say, I just need more of God today to make it through. I need more of God to help me today. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Don't be afraid. Come on forward to these two altars. I would love to pray with you.